Thank you, Isabel, for the introduction, and thank you all for being here so early in the morning, for choosing our session. I just want to acknowledge my co-authors and colleagues at the University of Illinois at Chicago that are listed on this slide, and no relationship to disclose. If you're not familiar with Bridging the Gap, our project is a collaborative effort that focuses on the impact of policy programs and environmental factors on a number of youth behaviors. We're funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and we started in 1997 looking mainly at alcohol, tobacco, and drug use among teens, but we've expanded significantly to look at diet, physical activity, and weight outcomes. And the collaborative piece, we work with the University of Michigan's Monitoring the Future study, which is a survey of middle and high school students funded by the National Institute of Drug Abuse. So my objectives today were to describe the frequency of the availability of nutrition information in a national sample of restaurants, fast food restaurants, and explain the differences in this by some different community demographics, and also discuss a little bit of the content and readability of printed nutrition materials that we collected from fast food restaurants in our sample. So as basic background, some studies have already shown years ago that there's really little nutrition information and calorie information available at the point of sale from fast food restaurants and even online when you consider some websites. That's probably changed more recently, but at the point of sale, I'm going to talk about the point of sale environment in fast food restaurants in 2010. And as we'll probably hear about somewhat on the panel, and you know, there are several counties, cities, and states that have passed menu labeling legislation to change the point of sale environment. And as Isabel mentioned, it's now federal law that will go into effect next year. So I'm going to talk about our community obesity measures study, which focuses on local policy and environmental data in a national sample of communities. For the environmental data, we do observational data collection in a number of different venues, one being fast food restaurants. And our community sample is attached to that Monitoring the Future study at University of Michigan. So we go to the communities where they're doing a survey of secondary schools, and we observe the environments around those schools. So our community boundaries are the catchment area or the enrollment zone for students that are in the schools with the Monitoring the Future survey. So in 2010, we were in 154 communities. We did our data collection in the spring and summer of that year. Within those communities, our fast food sample came from two different commercial business sources, Dun & Bradstreet and InfoUSA, which you may be familiar with. And we did some screening on the phone just to make sure that those businesses were correctly classified, had the right name and address, and were actually eligible for our study. We also, when we did our observational data collection, supplemented with field-discovered fast food businesses, given that there are errors in these commercial databases. There's sometimes undercounting and misclassification, so we wanted to make sure to have a more accurate count of what was available on the ground. So we set goals for the number of field-discovered fast food businesses based on the findings from a previous validation study led by Lisa Powell at University of Illinois at Chicago. So this is a summary of the restaurants that we completed in 2010, the fast food restaurants, 2,243, about half of which were chain restaurants and half were independent fast food restaurants. And we used the Restaurants and Institutions magazine's list of top chain restaurants to identify which ones were chain and top chains in the U.S. And then you see that most came from communities that were suburban, but or not most, but the greatest portion, but we had a good number in urban and rural areas as well. A little more than half of restaurants were in communities that were predominantly white, and then a little less than half in non-white. And we divided our sample by income tertile so that we had the communities divided out to look at low, middle, and high income communities. So this is a snapshot of the form that we used for data collection in fast food restaurants, and I'm really going to just talk about the last bullet, the availability of nutrition information section. And we looked at a few different sources at the point of sale to see if there was a menu board, food display tags, which would be the little tags in a display cabinet with pastries or whatever saying what it is. Posted material would be anything affixed to a wall or to a counter. Printed material would be things that you can take away with you, brochures and pamphlets. And then printed menus were more laminated menus or things that were for use in the restaurant that you wouldn't take away with you. So sometimes pizzerias and places might have a printed menu. We did look at the drive-through menu board where there was a drive-through available, and we also coded when data collectors asked for nutrition information, what was the response they got? Did they get anything in addition to what was available at the point of sale? So this slide shows sort of an overview of what we found in our sample. The first column on the left just shows you those different sources I talked about, and the percentage in parentheses is the percentage of all restaurants that had that source at the point of sale. So most of our restaurants had a menu board. And then it looks like the second most predominant was the posted material at the point of sale. About a third of our restaurants had a drive-through with a drive-through menu board. The food display tags were less common, printed menus were less common, but that just shows you how common those things are. And then on the right side, it shows among all restaurants what percentage had calorie information for either some items or all items via that source. So you see that the most common ways that calorie information was provided was from the printed and posted material in our observation. And I just separated out the drive-through menu board visually to show that that's the outside of the restaurant and all these other ones were the interior point-of-sale environment. And this will just combine those five sources in the previous slide into any of those five sources at the point-of-sale to show in our full sample, 12.5% of restaurants provided calorie information for all items in some way at the point-of-sale. And then for some items, usually some items being the healthy choices, you know, these are the items that are 500 calories or less or 300 calories or less. And then obviously we would expect that chain restaurants would be more likely to do this. So we split it out and looked at chain versus non-chain. And in our sample, the chain restaurants, just under 20%, had calorie information for all items at point of sale in one of those ways provided. And there was a significant difference between the chain and non-chain, which we would expect. The next couple slides are just showing by different demographic characteristics of the community. We wanted to explore if there were differences in provision of calorie information. So this looks at the urbanicity or the locale type for the community, looking at urban, rural, and suburban populations. And the bars show you percent of restaurants providing calorie information for some or all items. So not a lot of difference shown by locale type of the community. This is by the median household income, where it looks like maybe there is some more provision going on in higher income communities, but not really a significant effect here. And then by the predominant race of the community. So here it looks a little bit more significant that in restaurants that are in predominantly black communities in our sample, there was a greater percentage of restaurants that had calorie information available. So looking at these, part of the question is, well, is this just a factor of where policies were in place? Because we went in the field in 2010, and there were already a number of cities and counties and state of California that had things, policies in effect and already pieces of it being implemented. So we added an indicator in our data set to look at any restaurants that were in one of those communities that had a policy in place, and we wanted to look at differences by that as well. So I guess before I show that, these are just from a regression looking at the odds of providing calorie information and holding other factors constant, that chain restaurants is still very significant, over six times more likely to provide calorie information than the non-chains. And that the non-white communities were significantly more likely to have it than the predominantly white communities. And then the high income as well is significant here. And then we broke it out by, as I said, the restaurants that were in communities with a policy in place on menu labeling and those that did not, to show if these other factors really had a significant association. And the chain restaurants always is strongly significant, with them more likely to provide calorie information than non-chain. And still in fast food restaurants that were in communities with a policy in place, the restaurants in non-white communities seem to have more calorie information available in our sample. So I wanted to just also give you a little info on what we did with printed nutrition materials. We collected, wherever there were brochures or flyers or other things available, we collected them with the observation form and took them home with us. And those could have been either available at the point of purchase, readily available for consumers, or something that was provided on request. And in total, we had 736 items collected, representing 70 different fast food chains, but the majority, over 53%, came from just four chains. So there's a lot of chains that are on top of this and providing information for consumers, either upon request or at the point of sale. And then we wanted to develop a coding scheme to just look at what kind of stuff was on the brochures and how useful it was for consumers. So we put together some different variables looking at the nutrition content, if they did have information on calories, fat, sodium, carbohydrates, the different nutrients that are in the Nutrition Labeling and Education Act, and also looked at whether they had it for both food and beverage items. We looked at readability, just picked some indicators of how easy it was for consumers to use and read, including margin size, you know, amount of white space on the page, font size, use of color and use of bullets. And then we wanted to see if anyone had any kind of health promotion or reference to nutrition, reference to physical activity, had something to help consumers identify which were the healthy options on the brochure. So those were some of the variables in the coding scheme for that. And then we had four coders that worked on this, and we created a weighted score on those different, giving the most weight to the nutrition content and less weight to the other variables, which are kind of a nice thing to have but not really required. And this is what we came up with. The maximum score in the right column is 90, you know, optimally if someone was to do everything that we would hope that they would do. But among all the materials we collected, the average score was 63.6. And basically, I split it out in this slide just showing the types of materials that we collected. So most of them were brochures, booklets. We also had tray liners and some other things that showed up a little less frequently. But overall, in terms of nutrition and completeness, they're scoring pretty highly, but in terms of readability and health promotion, it's just not really seeming to show up very much. So that seems like an opportunity, an area for improvement or an opportunity for restaurants to do better if this is going to become more available to consumers. And I just brought a couple examples to show as visual aids for thinking about using this and trying to quickly find what you're looking for. The font size on this is probably 5 points or something like that. It's really hard to read. And interestingly, we found one that someone gave us from 1998. So this is, 12 years old at the time of data collection. So I would imagine that their menu has changed a little bit in that time. So it kind of questions the utility of these. We looked at a little bit by chain as well. So this shows for some of the top chains how they scored. And interestingly, KFC was at the top, I think, because of that health promotion that they did mention a lot about physical activity and nutrition and had, you know, some more readability components in their brochures. And I just noticed in looking at it that KFC and Taco Bell are both part of Yum Brands, which was kind of on top of menu labeling and doing some voluntary stuff to provide information for consumers. So we might be able to look a little bit at how different companies are addressing this in not only in the point of sale environment, but in the materials that they're giving out. So to summarize what I talked about, in our observational study, 12.5% of the fast food outlets we visited provided calorie information for all items at the point of sale, and just under 20% of chain outlets specifically did that. The second bullet summarizes for any calorie information, so some or all items. The most common way that this was provided was via the printed material that we just talked about. Chain restaurants were much more likely to have calorie information available, and as were those in non-white and high-income communities. But when we looked at the existing menu labeling laws and took those into effect, the income effect didn't seem to be as significant anymore. But the restaurants and communities with a policy in place that were also in non-white communities looked to have more calorie information available than in predominantly white communities. And last, the printed nutrition materials look like they're providing adequate nutrition information, but they scored low on our coding scheme in the areas of readability and health promotion. So there's room for improvement there. In terms of our project, we're going to explore a little bit more by chain what different chains are doing at the point of sale environment, how they're providing it, providing calorie information, how useful it is. And then we'll be able to explore a little bit further the difference in communities that have existing menu labeling laws. What is the point of sale environment like there? And then just in terms of longer term, we did a wave of data collection in 2011, and we're going into the field again in 2012. So we'll be able to look at trends over time and how the environment changes after the federal law goes into effect across the country. And that's it. Thank you so much, and I welcome questions later. Thank you.